Hello and welcome to the 23rd entry into the Dimwit Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Ogden, the guy who usually does the corrections.
Oh, he's here.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Kyle Dirksen, the normal host of this show on mic. We're in studio in my San Francisco apartment. And we're very excited to have Andrew here today.
Yes, we
He's going to do live corrections. So instead of dilly-dallying, we're going to jump right into him. What do we got?
We're going to roll up the sleeves on my half-sleeve shirt and really just jump into this.
Perfect.
So last week we were talking about mountains. We were talking about them Swiss Alps.
Yes.
And that led you talking about Mount Fuji, asking how tall Mount Fuji was. Mount Fuji is also an active volcano, which is pretty fun. The last time it erupted was December 16th, 1707. So we're probably due for a biggin'.
I don't care for it. When does it get stopped being called active?
That's a great question, because it's been a couple hundo.
It's been a couple hundo, and it's just a crater now. Like, once a mountain blows its lid off, like, you know, Mount St. Helens, you know, that was a real mountain, and then it blew the F up, and now it's just a big crater in the side of the mountain. I wouldn't consider that an active, like, it's pretty much done. Like, it's a pimple. You can have residual pus pockets, but it's like, it's done. Like, the big load has been shot.
Yeah, and we do love shooting loads here at the Dimwit Podcast.
That's right.
And so the question is the elevation was 12,388 feet.
That's not really that impressive.
It's really not that big.
Damn it. I thought I was doing something really special. Every time I hike a mountain, I hit snow. I'm like, oh, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not. And I think it's because it's a single standing mountain. It's just a volcano.
Yeah.
So that feels more intense than hiking in a mountain range, because it just comes from sea level and goes straight to 12,000 feet, which seems a little more impressive.
Yeah. It was first ascent. The first ascent was in 663 AD, which is weird because I didn't even know we remembered anything from that time.
Right.
How did it, like, they were like, oh, this papyrus says 663.
I want to know at what
Hero
point
climb the mountain. Then
I want to know at what point in our history. I guess it's been forever, probably. But I feel like people that used to climb mountains were climbing mountains carrying a baby up them to throw them off the cliff or into the lava bed, you know. But then there's a turning point where people started actually documenting, like, we're doing this for sport now. Like, yeah. First ascents. Like that's a weird moment in history to go, like, I want to climb this just to go to the top.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you read Kerouac's Dharma Bums, it's pretty much all about that.
They climb mountains? I don't feel like...
I feel like
Dean and Jack probably spent most of the time
Jeffy
at sea level or below. Like, I felt like they were desert dwellers. Like, he went to Big Sur for his great adventure. Shut up. It's not that big a deal. Have you read Big Sur?
No, I never have.
It's good, but he lives in a cabin, and people come in to see him, and then they do what they do in every other city, which is just drink and hang out and talk late into the night and talk about having sex with underage girls in the back of buses.
Yeah, which is something that we don't like here on the Dimwit Podcast.
No. I want to say that I have a firm stance on having sex. I'm firm stance against having sex with underage women in the back of Greyhound buses going cross-country.
For sure. I'm... kind of for the back of the bus, just like
I think if
you like to do the Rosa Parks and just really get it.
Right. And I have to say, you know, if you're going to have sex on a bus, it's probably a decent thing to do it in the back.
Yeah.
For one, you have that seat. A lot of buses in the back, if they have bathrooms, they have the bathroom and then they have the three-seater in the back. So you could almost splay out a woman back there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a fine roasted, like a suckling pig.
How many? Exactly. That's what it is. How many people do you think have gotten murdered on buses? Can you look that up?
Yeah, we'll do. We
bus
can
murders.
Do some live
yeah, we're gonna do. I'm gonna ask you to look up plenty of things today. This is like my ultimate. This is my ultimate fantasy. What's happening right now is I just talk and have someone look stuff up while I'm in the middle of speaking about nonsense.
Jiminy crickets. There's just tons of things and very recent. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, and it's got to be bus murder, and I think it has to be while the bus is moving with other passengers.
That's a very specific...
I don't think you're going to be able to find that.
Bus murders. Let's get back to the mountain, though.
Okay, go back to the mountain, please.
And you were talking about, I think, why like people started climbing mountains just for sport. And I think we really need to get back to those more meat and potatoes times of taking an unwanted child to the top and throwing it off. Because I think that's one of the problems with this country is that we just don't do that anymore.
The unwillingness to kill small children.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like they're probably not going to feel a lot of it. And it's going to help with like food supply. It's going to help with, you know, we're running out of water just as the world.
Sure.
And babies sure don't really drink a lot of it, but you know.
Enough.
They drink enough.
Yeah.
So I think if we just really got back to that real, it's giving me a thing of Murder, She Wrote episodes on buses. That's pretty dumb.
We can overlook that. We don't need to look that one up. All right, what else we got?
What else we got? We were talking about, excuse me, is the north face of a mountain like that really hard to climb? And in our pre-show rundown, we were over breakfast. It was lovely. You guys should have been there. we were talking about how it's kind of this, like no one really has the answer. Some people say yes, some people say no, and a lot of it is... the idea of the North Face being so hard was this thing that the Germans came up with for the Eiger Mountain. They really wanted people to climb this thing, and they really wanted it to be a competition of who could climb the Eiger Mountain fastest. And so it kind of became this thing like the Eiger was the North Face mountain, and it was this big thing to overcome.
So you would say that the North Face is sort of like overcoming a difficult challenge, regardless, sort of a metaphor for hardened. Tough. It's very tough to do.
I mean, like, yeah, you could say is it like the North Face is like Mein Kampf, you know?
Oh, it's everybody's struggle.
Like, it's everybody's Kampf.
Yes. Kampf.
It's not too comfy, though.
No.
It's that's quite a funny, uncomfortable.
For a German, that's a very funny joke. We are known as a very serious people.
Oh, yeah.
Stoic and serious. Yeah. But that's why we have bullet trains that run on time. Then you get to Italy and you're like, where is this train? I bet the trains ran to the concentration camps on time.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is a bummer. If you're a Jew, you're like, please be late. You know? I don't want to get on the boxcar now. Oh my God. I want to wait. And we're like, Jews.
I'm offended.
Frankly?
And frankly.
And frankly. Oh, that was a good joke, too. My goodness. You are not a native-born German, because otherwise... Oh, that is funny. Okay, what else we got?
Let's get out of that.
Do you have more corrections?
And then, yeah, you were asking about Incans and Mayans and Aztecs again, which is a theme of this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like I do. It does bum me out how much I get back to mountain ranges and South American native people.
It's just like you go with what you know?
Which is almost
very
almost little. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a beautiful middle ground for us as friends.
Because you know everything?
No, because I also know nothing.
Oh,
we just
okay.
kind of meet in this empty plateau of knowledge.
Yeah, we wander around the bog of nothingness.
Like, yeah, it's like the Dead Sea of information that we live in. Or maybe the Salton Sea. But the answer effectively is, yeah, there were an S-ton of people in that, what they call pre-Columbian time. And also in our pre-show rundown, we talked about what pre-Columbian could potentially mean. A lot of the consensus between me and Kyle and not the internet or any sort of knowledge was that it was before Columbus. I could also look this up, but I also don't feel like doing more work that I don't get paid to already do.
Because I'm confused. Well, I want to know because if it's pre-Columbian, was it pre-Columbian? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Then, so not only does Columbus have a statue in Barcelona and any...
Such good soccer there.
Think of so good. It is so good. And also, he also gets... credited for like, Plymouth Rock, coming over, discovering America, all this good stuff. He also has a country in South America
named for him. Yeah.
I hope it's not for Christopher Columbus, because I didn't even know he landed in South America ever. I thought he was like a Caribbean guy. I thought he went around to the islands or like hit, you know, Puerto Rico or Antigua first.
I think you're thinking of Captain Jack Sparrow.
Am I thinking of him?
I think you're getting Chris. It's like a classic Dirksen mistake.
Right.
Just mixing up Captain Jack with Chris Columbus.
Chrissy. Where did
Jack Sparrow sailed the ocean blue in 1492?
Yes, he did. I'm trying to figure out where did. Never mind. Let's get. I don't want to go there.
Anyways.
Because I want to talk about pirates. Because there's two. Isn't there two popular places in the world to do piracy? Or there was? The big one was in the Bahamas, or the Caribbean, obviously. The Bahamas.
The Spanish Main.
The Spanish Main. And then...
what was that accent?
The Spanish Main. I don't know.
Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Spanish Main.
Spanish Main.
I loved her.
Back to Winterfell.
I loved her.
I loved her.
Yours is almost more like Sean Bean there. Sean Bean.
Sean Bean. Get your head cut off. I don't even know what voices these are.
They're dope.
And then there's the big Somalia pirate thing.
Yeah.
Where did most piracy take place? Look that up for me.
I'm on it.
All right. Well, while he's on it, I will... No. We don't have... This live looking up doesn't work very well.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I guess I should just...
Also, maybe we can just... I'll just email... Or I'll text them to you next
week. Text them to me next
week. But
now
I can just do them faster.
Was there any other corrections?
That... There was just it for the corrections.
There's a bunch of Mesoamericans.
There's a ton of Mesoamerican
bunch of
tribes. Literally too many to name.
Why do we not know about any of those?
Because I think it was the dominance of the Aztec, the Inca, and the Maya, because they had just over the the bunches of years that they were around had just taken up so much land that they were the, like we had talked about earlier in our pre-show rundown, kind of like the Navajo and the Apache, there was a ton of, you know, northern Native American tribes that we also don't know about, but there's just these several that were so, you know.
You know what I think prevalent. It's all based on? I think it's what you leave behind in ruins. That's the only thing people care about. As long as there's some, there, you can't get wiped out so completely that there's nothing left of your culture other than like a broken pot.
Yeah, because the big three had an F ton of ruins.
Yeah, you got the Aztec pyramids and the Mayan pyramids and the Incan and Incans is Machu Picchu. So you got all those big, you know, that's why the ancient Egyptians are popular. They got those, I don't know, what do they call those things?
Triangles.
The triangles with bricks or whatever. And then, you know, the Acropolis, you got that whole thing. So that's why they're popular. The Romans have the Colosseum. So basically, we only like people that leave behind good ruins that are big enough to like...
Yeah, we want their stuff.
Yeah, that's why even in America, the big nations for Native Americans, I don't even think... I know the Navajo, but they're... I think they're the biggest.
They didn't leave behind shit.
But they didn't leave behind much. Most of the Native Americans, I mean, what do we got? We got the cliff dwellings like in, what is it, Casa Verde or something like that?
Casa Verde.
That's not right at all. But it's in Colorado. It's in Colorado and it's a big cliff dwelling.
Yeah.
So somebody left that. I think whoever left that should be remembered.
It was probably on the North Face.
But other than
other
than that, none of these Native Americans should be remembered for anything. And I'm saying in like 600 years.
Besides alcoholism.
Yeah. And you know, using all of the buffalo.
We love teepees too. I love the movie with Jonathan Taylor Thomas where he makes a teepee with Chevy Chase. I keep wanting to say Jungle to Jungle.
No, it's not
Man
jungle.
Of the House.
Man of the House. Squatting Dog.
Squatting Dog.
Is what he calls Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
The other movie I was thinking about with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I think it's called Wild America.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen
that
one?
That's a real movie.
That's a real movie?
Yeah, that's a real movie.
I think it's The Edge with children. I think they get hunted by a bear at some point.
Wild America. And it's like him and his three brothers and they want to go like document the world.
But it's basically Home Improvement, but frontier style.
Yeah. Wild America, 1997. You know, you got JTT, who is maybe dead for all we know. And then a bunch of other people who don't also do anything. So this was kind of a last ditch effort for all these guys.
Right.
There's some really dope like 1990s down the middle hair parts. Which
was
is
that
really
guy
cool.
in Meet the Deedles?
Meet the Deedles.
No,
no
I don't
he
think
wasn't.
So.
I know everyone who was in Meet the Deedles.
Except
for Paul Walker, R.I.P.
Oh, that's right.
Dennis Hopper was in that as well.
Dennis Hopper
was the villain.
Does Dennis Hopper have the biggest gap in really, really great movies and tremendously awful
movies? Yeah.
I mean, Eye Patch McGee in Waterworld.
Oh, wow.
And then he's also the bad guy in the Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like with John Leguizamo.
Yeah. He has, and then he's over here in Apocalypse Now and Easy Rider. This guy in Blue Velvet, he's got quite the range.
Daddy wants to, you know, daddy just wants it.
Daddy wants it. All right. Well, good. I'm glad. Thank you for coming in here and doing that. You can now let the door hit you on the way out.
Thank you. I'm just going to take your girlfriend's toothpaste and I'll be on my way.
Oh, Toms. Have you ever used Toms?
Toms feels like I'm brushing my teeth with just something I don't want. I have got nothing really.
It's like with mint paste. It just tastes like they ground up mint. The texture of Tom's toothpaste is not good.
It's very pasty. And it we is don't pasty. Really think of toothpaste as being pasty.
No.
We think of it as, I don't know, it's really, really smooth and jelly almost. It's almost like tooth gel.
I'm also still a child because everybody is getting older. And they're buying Tom's, they're buying Colgate Total or
I'm
something.
All about Crest.
I'm Crest with the sparkles in it still. Like I get
we just fist bumped.
Yeah, I get garbage like child toothpaste.
Yeah. If when it's not blue, I don't want
no,
it.
No, when I was a kid, I ate a whole bubble gum. Did you ever eat a whole bottle of toothpaste?
No.
I was really tracked. Yeah, I ate a whole bottle of Crest one time.
Did you get sick?
Yeah, I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have to get my stomach pumped, but the next few days were rough.
Yeah, you have some serious mud butt.
It was like Raging Waters coming out of there, just bright blue and sparkly.
For those of you who don't know, Raging Waters is a theme park in San Dimas, California.
It looked like I was crapping out a Smurf.
which one?
I don't know. The blue ones? I have to have a deeper reference than the Smurf to pop a Smurf.
There we go. That was all I was really looking for, because I don't know any of their other names.
I don't know any of them.
The bad guy's name's like Gilgamesh. Not Gilgamesh. Really? Gilgatron. Gilgamesh.
What is Gilgamesh?
Gilgamesh
was he the guy?
It's a book. It's like a... stupid.
This is awesome.
So dumb.
I almost said it was Gomorrah, which Sodom and...
It's like an epic... Right? Yeah, it is. It's not a Homer, but it's...
No.
Gilgamesh. It's an epic. It's a Sumerian epic poem. And he was
Sumerian?
Yeah.
Gilgamesh doesn't sound like a Sumerian.
Do you know many Sumerians?
No, I know zero, but I just imagine it being a little bit more, I don't know. Gilgamesh sounds like
he's a demigod of superhuman strength.
I'm thinking of
cities.
What's the one where the...
Boring.
What's the one...
He builds walls. Stupid fucking story that is.
Yeah, all right, Don Quixote.
Ooh.
What's the guy...
Man of La Mancha.
Is it Solo? No, Gulliver's Travels. The one where he's the big guy that gets tied... Well, he's not big, but he gets tied up by a bunch of small people.
He's normal and they're tiny.
Yeah, and they tie up Jack Black.
Is that who was
Jack Gulliver? Black was in Gulliver in that one.
Oh, I was trying to... I thought it was Jason...
Sudeikis.
Not
Sudeikis.
Not Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis is Sudoku is the game you play. That's what I was doing.
I've only ever not played that game.
Yeah, me too.
I look at it and say,
there's a lot of blank spaces and numbers.
Yeah, like, I just start putting in numbers. I crush through whole booklets of it in 5 minutes.
I'm a real child. I would rather eat toothpaste and do word searches.
Dude, I crush word searches.
You should, because you're an adult.
Yeah, but like
oh, this one's backwards.
But like better than everybody else, is what I'm saying.
And crosswords, no good. Can't even do the easy ones. We did a book. We went on this trip, and my friend brought a book of easy New York Times crosswords. Easy. Hard. It was embarrassing how little we filled out.
Yeah, they're surprisingly difficult.
If you sit down with the New York Times and can finish one of those crosswords, you should register yourself as a genius. Or you should go just clean up any trivia night in any city you go to.
And if you do it in pen, then you're pretty much just a god.
Yeah, if you know what it is and can spell it correctly.
On the first try, no whiteout, no warm-ups, no nothing.
I would love to see a guy do a crossword with whiteout, a pen and whiteout. He's like, dude, you could just use a pencil. And he's like, no!
No, it needs to be in pen.
Yeah.
Just trying to impress some clam at the local Starbucks.
That's right. All right, so we're through the corrections. We got done with the Tom's toothpaste segment. That was good.
Thank you,
Tom's.
I think
that was strong. Yeah. Oh, Tom's. One more thing about Tom's. Have you ever used their deodorant?
No. It's natural deodorant?
It smells like Fruit Loops. And it doesn't. And I don't think it does anything.
It tastes like Fruit Loops.
I haven't. You know, I never have eaten.
It's one of those it's one of those things that you use for your body that you haven't eaten.
I haven't eaten.
Cool.
Well, by the time I started using deodorant, I was a little beyond wanting to eat body products and shampoo. I tasted shampoo. What are you doing?
You just have so many freaking number two pencils. I was seeing if any of them were sharpened, and two are.
Yeah. Why would I sharpen all of them?
I don't know, because it's fun.
That's weird.
No, it's not.
It's
what's better than a sharpened pencil?
I can think of a lot of things.
Yeah, me too.
Filet mignon. All right. So this week, let's talk about a couple things I did. I went over to the East Bay, and I visited my cousin and his wife, who just had a baby.
A little baby.
Oh, Jerry, you've got to see the baby. So I went over there semi-begrudgingly, and I was a little bit scared because this baby's only a week and a half old. I don't like holding babies that can't use their necks yet.
Yeah,
you know,
it's scary.
And it seems like a lot of pressure. And people always do this, and the same thing happened here. I appreciate it. I want to do this as a parent, but I came over. I said, hello. Nice to see you. I haven't seen him in a while. I said, beautiful baby, Grace. Baby Grace, look at her. She is so gorgeous.
Are you one of those people that call babies baby something?
No.
Okay.
I actually screwed up her name. I called her Rose.
Dumb name anyways.
I felt really bad.
Rose.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, they just handed me their child. And I was like, I don't know if I...
I didn't ask for this.
I don't want to do this. And in the past, usually the kid's a little bit older, but my experience, it's gotten better in the last couple of years.
Like 10-year-old children, you're okay with?
I'm okay with holding them.
Below 10, you're just like, this is a little
suspect. Like a 2-year-old, I hold them and I just know, or 1-year-old, and I know they're just going to start crying because they don't know me.
Yeah.
They don't recognize me. I don't smell right.
They're
I don't
dicks.
Look like dad. Yeah. So I was a little worried about that, but they threw me into her. I sat down with her. They put me in her, or I put her in my lap or whatever. And I was kept my head behind her, held her for like 15 minutes, fell asleep, didn't cry,
ooh,
felt like a hero. And I went with Mallory, and there was something about me like, look, I will be a good dad.
Oh
yeah. Cause you do judge a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when Mallory held her, she fussed a little bit, and I was like, I don't know if you're going to be cut out to be a mom.
I just realized that your hips aren't child-rearing
hips. I just realized that babies hate you. And I bet our children will too. It was concerning. But then she fell asleep on her, and it was she held it. Mallory held the baby for like an hour and a half. I went and had a beer and ate a sandwich.
Heard that, brother.
Yeah, I was
love
like,
me a beer sandwich.
Let's daddies go talk.
Daddies
and
go
can,
talk.
You guys can talk about whatever, menstruating or whatever you guys do.
That's what women usually talk about.
Menstruating.
I've heard about.
I'd see, if I were to take everything I've learned from women in stand-up comedy, is that most of the time that they talk or think, it's about their vagina.
Yeah, because that's what they think with. Like,
yeah.
We think with our dicks, and our dicks are evil. But
I don't think with my penis very often.
Yeah, you're weird.
I am weird. I'm not distracted by my wiener very often. Sometimes, but I could do without. I think I could be...
Without?
I think I could be a monk and not be like that distraught about it. Like, I could be one of the good Catholic priests.
One of the good ones.
Yeah, I think I could get... I don't think I would turn into a monster.
Okay.
It's weird when you become when you're celibate for so long that instead of really just going after Tang at some point
Tang.
And losing it and going and hitting up prostitutes, you're like, well, I can't do it. I can't have sex. So I'll invite Todd over. The altar boy Todd. We all know an altar boy Todd.
Oh, yeah. We all know altar boys.
Well, I'll invite a 12-year-old. We'll like hit up some wine and then I might touch his peen.
Yeah, do the pillow strip poker.
That's weird.
Yeah,
now,
how did
they
get here?
I don't know. About not thinking with your dong.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think with your dong?
Oh, yeah.
You're a dong thinker?
I'm a dong. I can be. I can be a dong thinker sometimes. Just, yeah. I like the women. I like the female form.
Right.
And
I mean, I like it.
I mean, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
You're just such a solid dude. You're just so locked into your relationship. And,
it's just,
you know,
not
it's
an
just
all consuming
and all downhill from here.
It's
for
not
you.
An all consuming fire. Mm. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I almost slid that one right under.
That's
the
great.
Rim.
I mean,
downhill's the easiest hill to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I love going downhill.
I'm just,
in my razor scooter.
I'm coasting
with my wheelie bar in the back.
That's right. You know, I was such an early adopter of the Razor scooter that I bought a Razor scooter without, it didn't even have a wheelie bar in the back.
Yeah, same.
Because like the first and second.
They didn't have anything.
No,
brake.
No wheelie bar. You kidding
me? They had, you can get blue wheels and blue handlebar squishies.
Mine had yellow wheels. No?
Okay. Yellow?
Yeah.
Is that your color?
No, it was just the only one they had at Costco.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't think
that they could, you could sell a Razor scooter anymore. The way that it first came out. Because you could spin the bars like as much as you wanted.
Dude,
those things were dangerous.
Some sick ass tail whips.
Dude, I was all about it.
I couldn't.
Bar spin? Is that what they call it? Is that the trick?
Yeah, like a bar spin? That sounds right.
Bar spin 180?
But yeah, my ankle bones were messed up from pretty much like the age of 7 to 10 when I was really crushing the Razor game.
Yeah.
And I was failing daily to do tail whips because I have no hops. And I never really quite understood the technique. And so I would just spin that thing right into my ankle.
Oh, yeah, I did that
constantly.
A lot. I used to go to the skate parks with, I was one of the kids that went to a skate park with a Razor scooter. But again, such an early adopter of said Razor scooter.
You were just like a leader.
That nobody, it didn't have the stigma of like a rollerblader or anything. It was still, I was accepted with open arms.
Fruit booter.
By all the skateboarders. They loved it because I could grind.
Oh, dude, you could hit sick grinds?
Dude, I would, not 50, you can't 50-50. I'd board slide, I guess.
I guess that's all a 50-50 with that thing.
Yeah, it's all, yeah. I'd hit metal on metal and slide.
That's baller. Did sparks come out?
No.
Oh, dude.
I should have gone with yes, huh? That would have been way better.
You should have just said yes and lied.
Yeah, tons of sparks. I set whole parks on fire. Because of the sparks.
Back to the top of your list of things that you did this week. We're talking about the baby.
The smallest baby ever. I held a very small baby. It was good times. And it made me feel good.
That's great. And yeah. that's a good feeling that you're just like, I can deal with babies. Because I have a six-month-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding him on my shoulders. And I was walking around, me and my brother... and my sister-in-law, we all have a timeshare together because we're like 40-year-olds in San Diego that we go to every year. And they were like, hey, we're going to run to Whole Foods, you know, to get whatever you get there. And they were like, can you just watch him for a minute? I was like, yeah, sure, because he's super mellow. He just likes to shake his legs. He looks like he has Parkinson's. I call him Michael J. Fox sometimes.
Nice.
I also call him a tic-tac dick. He loves that because it's small. But I was had him on my shoulders, and I walked under... I was like walking him around, just like bouncing him, just like ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da, like the music from Star Wars.
Yeah, and like you do.
We're just crushing butt, and I walked under the ceiling fan, and there was probably like 6 inches of clearance between Elliot, his head and the ceiling. But I just had this horrible thing that happened in my head of like, what if I just killed this little thing right now by accident? Like, I walked into the fan, and you just, you're like, and it was just like,
splash.
Yeah. Like, I would have felt awful. So, babies
and
scare
then when
me.
They come, when your parents, or whoever, who are you with? Your
my brother.
When they come back in, you just flick them a quarter and say, sorry about the mess.
Sorry, guys. Well, luckily, housekeeping comes on
Wednesdays.
That was
a Han Solo reference from the bar scene. That wasn't very good. I'm sorry.
Anyways, yeah, so babies scare me, where I'm just like, if something happens, this is all on me, because this thing ain't mine.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
They're just such fragile creatures. I mean, we're all fragile creatures, really, when you think about it.
That is so true.
Thank you.
That is so true. I felt like I had a good run of family, though, this week, because I went and saw my cousin, who I hadn't seen for a long time, and then, obviously, the new baby, and then...
And Mal was in town.
But then I got thinking, I don't know why, I don't remember how it came up, but I started feeling real bad about my grandma. I don't know. It was like a premonition, like she's going to die this year kind of thing.
God.
I don't know.
Do you have that power?
But I don't. Well, I do have that power. I could go handle business if I need to.
Oh, not to kill her, to see the future.
Oh. I see the future, and the future is a gun in my hand and a bullet in my grandma's face.
In her face?
No,
you don't want to have an open casket?
No.
Yeah, those are creepy anyways. Yeah, shoot her in the face.
I don't like them. But I got a little nervous, so I gave her a call yesterday.
Did it just cheer her right
she
the fuck up?
She was so thrilled. Just absolutely thrilled.
I curse a lot. I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. This is usually like a really like pretty PG show, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, fuck
I'll
it.
I'll have to put an explicit sign on this episode.
Can you go through and just bleep everything out?
Yeah, I'll
after?
Bleep them. I'll
That's
bleep them.
So great.
I'll do some
I think
bleeps.
It's way funnier to bleep curse words.
So does my buddy Reed.
Well, were you an Arrested Development fan?
Yeah,
I thought
sort of.
Like
I mean,
when they bleeped out cuss words, and you never knew exactly. Like you could kind of piece it together, but sometimes it could have been anything.
Right.
And sometimes they like someone would go on this like long series of things where all you would hear is like, and the then it would just go bleep. And
I so do enjoy that.
I thought it was funny.
I do enjoy that. Yeah. So I called her, cheered her right up. It was.
What's your grandma's name?
Grandma Nancy.
Nance.
But do you have any grandma grandparents
I'm
left?
I'm not close to really much.
Yeah,
family.
I
sorry if they're listening.
I try to, I want to be closer, especially in these final days. Like, I want to ask her, but you know how the depression was. You know, there's questions I have that I feel like she's gonna die and I'm never gonna get an answer. Like, she's my last.
Is that how old? She's depression era. She would have been a babe.
She was born in the early 30s.
So she would 31, have just 32. Barely.
Yeah,
probably she didn't remember it.
But she remember. Okay, she maybe not that, but World War II.
Yeah, like, let's talk about a dope one.
I'm sure she remembers Pearl Harbor, right? You know what I mean? Pearl Harbor, December 7th.
I forget that movie a lot.
Yeah, I don't. I've forgotten the movie, but the historical, you know, date or moment or whatever event, I do want to recall. And she would remember it. I'm sure it was like her.
It's a day that lived in infamy.
It was, yeah, it was her 9/11, which is funny because technically the 9/11's hers too.
She's got two 9/11s.
She's got two 9/11s.
Or she's got two Pearl Harbors.
She probably says two Pearl Harbors, yeah. But she's seen, I can't imagine.
She probably also brushes her teeth with baking soda. So.
Yeah, I can't imagine being old enough to remember the first time someone walked on the moon to now.
That'd be
That's
weird.
Insane.
So much has happened.
Or basically, in World War II, if you think just in aeroplanes, mm-hmm. it's like you had P-51s that had Rolls-Royce engines in them and went like 600 miles an hour, you know? And now you have stuff that goes supersonic. She flew on the Concorde to England back
grapes.
In the day. She went supersonic. She went into the stratosphere.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. You could get to, I think, from L.A. to London in 6 hours or something like that. You might need to look that up next week. But
yeah, I'll throw that list.
It's crazy.
Pop open a window.
But it wasn't cost. Concords weren't they weren't cost effective. So
because they were and they're retired now. Right?
Yeah, because it took a ton of jet fuel. They were really expensive and they didn't carry that many people. So they'd rather get instead of getting the elite that could pay for a ticket on the Concorde. You know, they were like, well, let's just get all the peons and the proletariats to ride in the back of basically a sky bus.
Down with the bourgeoisie.
Exactly.
Long live the proletariat.
Yeah. I like both of them. I'd rather be bougie than poor.
I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah. I don't think any of them were like, you know what, if we were in the similar circumstance, they probably would have been just as shitty to the poor people.
Which yeah, is what absolutely.
The country sounded
on. Okay. Next. Do you have dreams, Andrew?
I know I do.
Yeah? Do you have any reoccurring things that happen in said dreams?
Oh, man. This is a little dark, but...
No, it's fine.
But we just definitely talked about shooting your grandma in the face, so this is a pretty
easy
one.
Yeah, that was
weird. I mean, you brought it up, so... Not to point fingers. But, yeah, I often have like these weird waking dreams of my dad dying. Me and my dad have a very interesting relationship. I love him very much. But not to get even sadder, but as you know, like him and my mom are currently going through a divorce, and he's super bummed. And she is just skipping like a gypsy with all that money. And gypsy skip.
Yeah, I know.
They love skip. That's why they call them skipping gyps.
Yeah.
You know? I have like this really reoccurring dream of him dying in some really shitty way. Not just like, oh... Like, he's 80. The dude's, like, 56 and works out at 4:30 in the morning every day.
Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that eat it earlier, though.
Oh, I bet. And the guy's just depressed as shit and, like, really sad. And has talked about killing himself, so I always just am like...
Wow.
Like, yeah, just hold in there, Dad.
Wait, he talks to you about killing himself?
He has.
Like, I want to kill myself?
Yeah, like, and that's kind of it. It's not
that's
just like, I've got a gun and a noose right. And another gun.
That's kind of mean. That's kind of lame to put on your kid.
My parents are really shitty about putting stuff on us. Like their whole divorce has kind of just been about like making us choose a side.
Right.
So it makes sense that even in death they would be selfish.
Ugh. So the dream is your father dying.
Yeah, it's my dad dying.
Is there any weird? I'm getting to what has happened to me for a number of years, and I just had another one of these dreams the other day.
Okay.
But it's a weird. And I would like you to look this one up maybe now, but because I'm pretty sure I've heard other people have the same thing happen to them. It's the same. It's a reoccurring phenomenon or whatever that happens
like
a lot of people.
Like a dream that a lot of people have.
Yeah, and it's terrifying to me. But it's my teeth fall out or get. I feel for my teeth and they come out. Now for me, I always thought it was actually just some sort of scary repressed memory I had. Not repressed, but because in high school I knocked a bunch of my teeth out. And so I thought it was just me kind of reliving that moment or that trauma. But I've read or I've heard, and it's only been whispers, like I can't really recall the exact conversations, but that this is a pretty normal dream for people to have.
Yeah, it actually, I got like, you type it in just into the search bar in Google.
Yeah.
And I wrote teeth falling out dreams, right?
And sometimes they're falling out. This one I had the other day was, they were like turning to sand in my mouth pretty much. And I was pulling them out of my mouth. It's gross and it's scary.
Yeah, that is super terrifying.
And I had in the same dream, and I didn't know this could even happen, but I asked somebody within my dream, I said, this has got to be a dream. And they're like, no, it's not a dream. But then I woke up and I was dreaming. Some Inception stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I don't recall very many of my dreams, but the last couple nights I've had some really intense ones. And I don't know what it is, if I'm not eating different or anything, but I'm curious. What do you got so for the falling out?
It just pops up, like even, like you don't have to click on, you know, when sometimes you hit Google and it's right there. Some analysts say that to dream of your teeth falling out tells of an unconscious fear of growing old and losing your faculties. A similar note, that doesn't sound like you. You don't seem like the kind of person who is bummed about getting old. You seem like you're pumped about getting old.
I like the idea of being able to wear hats and I like the accessory items, like a cool cane and stuff.
But the idea of you being like 40 and like living somewhere more rural with your wife, appeals to you.
Yeah, but I'm scared of being 30. I'm scared of being unsuccessful. I'm scared of being a 40-year-old that still lives with roommates.
Well, all those things are going to happen. So just get, On a similar note, losing teeth can also symbolize other feelings of loss that may be reoccurring in your waking life, such as loss of a friend or relative or a job. Like that bastard who done stole your job at the Laugh Factory Punchline in San Francisco. Sacramento.
You got a lot of that stuff kind of right. The Laugh Factory. They didn't steal it. There's nothing. There's, whatever. That could be true, though. I'm pretty bummed out.
Yeah, you're bummed about that.
I'm bummed.
You were super gonna, change the way homeless people made money in that town with your with your period piece.
I still think that's a beautiful idea.
It's a great idea, and there is no humor in what I'm trying to say. That is a great idea.
I just like seeing homeless people dressed up. I'm just tired. I'm tired of seeing...
Which is such a bougie thing to say.
I'm real tired of seeing homeless people's knees.
Their knees?
Well, it's either they got shorts or they got the jeans. They've been on their knees so much it's all worn out. And their knees are all crusted up and stuff. No, I'm just saying that they're street dwellers. I want to see some guys... I'd like to see some homeless people in khaki. That's all I'm saying. What happened?
Denard Span hit a sack fly. Giants scored.
What is it, 3-1?
2-1.
2-1? Matt Moore on the hill today for the first time for the Giants.
The Giants!
Gigantes!
Los Gigantes?
Los Gigantes.
Well, here's the cool thing, guys. We are all giant, so that's
true. We are SF. We are giant. Let's see. Do we want to talk about these two movies I saw this week?
Yeah, let's talk about
them. And then we'll get out of here.
Minutes.
We got like five, six, 7 minutes. All right, so the first movie I saw was Black Mass, starring Johnny Depp as
Whitey Bulger.
Whitey Bulger. And you said you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I hadn't. It didn't look. It just looked like another movie where Johnny Depp did a thing that was bad, and everyone's after him, like in Blow or that movie where he robbed banks. Where it's like, no, he's the hero.
Public Enemies.
Public Enemy. It seems like Johnny Depp loves playing those roles of these like super powerful corrupt people, and they want to kind of like tell their story, kind of thing. Like
sort of like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, like exactly. Like Willy Wonka's a fucked up movie.
Oh yeah, he's not a nice guy.
He's a bad dude. Yeah, the Gene Wilder one's a lot better though.
Yes.
Anyways, I know. Like I got like a whole part of that movie memorized. It's my jam. Sometimes I just throw
of
it
the
out.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah, it's great.
Which part?
When at the end, when he's just like, he's Matt. Like when Charlie gives him, he finds like they stole the fizzy lifting drinks, and they start screaming. I have the whole part memorized because sometimes I like to break it out, at cocktail parties.
Sure. Or, you must be a hit.
Oh, I'm a hit.
Big
dude.
Time hit.
Yeah, it's crazy that I'm single. Yeah. I'm nuts.
Black Mass just reminds me, it seems like Donnie Brasco in the future. Like he's just reprising the same role, but now he's got blue eyes. He looks like a shark in that movie.
But not Jeff Sumarja, the shark.
No, not him.
Because he looks nothing like a shark. Blanco. Gregor Blanco, the white shack.
The white shack?
The white shack!
No, but it's not a good movie. Everybody,
it just didn't look like it did
you
it
need
for
to
me.
See it.
Again, it just reminded me of like this is like Blow but worse.
Well, and it's one of these things where it's just a procedural sort of movie where it's like, all right, this guy did a lot of bad stuff. There's an FBI agent that may be getting involved that might also be kind of corrupt. It's going to roll on. No twist, no climax. Oh, the movie's over.
Okay.
No dramatic entrance, because I feel like Depp lives for dramatic entrances into his characters. You know, you hit the 5 or 10 minute mark and you see him for the first time, and it's always a great entrance. Or
like
generally,
in Blow, it starts off with him as a kid.
I've never seen Blow.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Can I tie in a loop to the movie Blow? Because I like it. In the movie, remember the Titans?
Never seen it.
Do you?
You blitz all night! I don't want them to gain another yard. They remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Added to reflect leadership, Captain. So the big guy. The big fat guy?
Yeah.
He goes to the St. Frank. Saw him yesterday. Ethan Suplee, the actor who plays
the blonde guy?
Yeah, the big fat one.
Yeah.
He comes to St. Frank. Saw him yesterday.
Is he also in Blow?
Yeah, he's also And he's also in Blow. He plays Johnny Depp's like best friend from Boston. They move to California and start becoming like weed dealers and then they become like a coke kingpin.
And what is St. Frank?
St. Frank is this coffee shop that I used to work at out here. It's in Russian Hill. It's a coffee shop that I used to work at when I lived out here, and now which is why I'm here for the podcast, obviously. Back for a week just helping out because I needed an extra set of hands.
Tight.
But, you know, as a business owner myself, I got nothing really there.
That's good.
Anyways.
I think that was a really good recap on Black Bass. I think we really covered a lot of ground, and I think a lot of people are going to...
It's not going to see it. See Black Mass.
It's not good. The other movie I saw was Magnum Force. Have you seen Magnum Force?
That's the second Dirty Harry movie?
Yes. Have you seen all of them?
I have. This is the one with all the corrupt cops, correct?
Yeah.
It's not as good as the first one.
The first one's pretty tremendous.
It's awesome.
This one's great too, though, in its own way, but it's much more...
I don't know if it's...
It's probably 70s still, right?
Uh-huh.
Late 70s?
Because the next one's The Enforcer, correct? Or not the first one.
The first one's just called Dirty Harry, I think.
Okay, then the third one's The Enforcer.
And there's a fourth one, too. Look it up.
Was he at that time the mayor of Carmel? Like, was he also...
I don't think he was there yet. But I bet Carmel's crime rate was super low when he was governor.
Mayor,
or whatever they call it. Mayor.
Shitless.
Yeah. Although it's not like Carmel had a huge gang problem to begin with. Not a lot of people with oceanfront property are really like, you know, into gangs.
I don't think there's four, dude.
There's not four?
It just says Dirty See All. Oh, sorry, you're right. Wait, there's a one from the 88 too? There's five.
Five? Dirty are they all
Harry.
Him?
Yeah, Dirty Harry, Magnum Force, Enforcer, Sudden Impact.
That's the one I was
thinking of. And the Deadpool.
The Deadpool. That was the one that I saw that the other day. No, the Sudden Impact. So yeah, I haven't seen. I'd only seen Dirty Harry.
Just a dad, like a dilf. Just dilf.
That's him in the what's the one with the Monte Carlo? What's the the car movie with the Asians?
Grand Torino.
The Grand Torino. Thank you.
Gosh.
Monte Carlo. I was thinking of Herbie. Isn't that the one? Herbie goes to Monte Carlo, right?
Oh,
that's
sure.
One.
I don't know.
Oh,
is that the one with Lindsay Lohan?
No, that one's much later. So you've seen Magnum Force.
Yeah,
it's great.
I love that
Everybody
movie.
Should see it. Everybody should, if you live in San Francisco or the Bay Area, you need to watch all these movies because I don't know if you're like me, but I'm obsessed with seeing my city on the big screen.
It's so fun. That's why I love the new Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Actually,
the new Planet of the Apes,
which you've seen. Yeah, and with you. I don't know. I did see it with
you. That was the movie that we saw that we couldn't agree on. We saw the movie
that
first
That's the
time.
One. That's the one. Sorry. A lot of inside stuff going on here. Yeah.
We're just really good friends.
That was totally the one, though. I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast, but I was trying to figure out. I bet you San Francisco is probably in the top three major cities that have been destroyed the most in movies.
Oh, most definitely.
Like New York,
London, probably the first.
Yeah, New York, London,
maybe
Washington D.C.
I was about to say like Tokyo.
I haven't win except for Godzilla.
Tokyo Drift. They fucked that shit up. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't seen Tokyo get destroyed ever.
I mean, there's a ton of Godzilla movies.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, I feel like San Francisco is the new target for the Armageddon movie.
Yeah, definitely. That's
X-Files. X-Men 3.
But we're big X-Files fans.
People just enjoy destroying the Golden Gate Bridge. I think that's what it is.
It's fun to look at.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But yeah, I think Magnum Force and then a movie that we both also have a huge crush on is...
Zodiac!
Yeah, the Zodiac Killer!
killer.
And luckily, Kyle, as not everyone knows, because, you know, guys aren't as good as friends as me and Kyle. Kyle lives in the general area where a lot of the killings happened.
Well, just where the last one did.
Yeah.
Last one. Because the first ones were like
in the
lakes.
Yeah.
Over in Vallejo and stuff.
Vallejo.
But the one on Cherry in Washington where he shoots the head off of a taxi driver.
Ooh, yeah.
From the back seat. That's just like 3 blocks from my house.
Love
just
it.
Just awesome. Because I love me some serial killers and I love the Zodiac.
Yeah.
And I really hope he comes back. I would love a good killer, like in the city.
Yeah, we actually haven't had a good spree of killings recently.
Well, we have. They just haven't been.
But by one person.
Yeah, that we don't really know. And I want it to be like white women. We could use less of this, like, cops and black. We need something to distract from all, like, the police brutality and racism.
Yeah.
So if we just got, like, nice co-ed blonde chicks that just started going missing.
Here's the cool thing is, like, it's such a great unifier.
Right.
Serial killers.
Because, nobody likes blonde chicks.
And no one likes being killed.
That's also true.
And they're going to suspect it's a cop for like 10 minutes, but then it's going to kind of bolster the community's sense of protection when they catch him.
Exactly. It's going to be a unifying factor because we're all going to start looking out for each other because like, well, you're not the killer and I'm not the killer, so let's hold hands down the street.
Just let's give them something to talk about.
Let's give them something to talk about. All right. Well, I think this was a good podcast. I think it was a strong podcast. I think you had a great first showing, Andrew, on this podcast. I thank you for all the hard work you do every single week listening to this horse shit and sifting through some of it to find some golden nuggets of truth and kernels of
justice.
Of facts. Oh. Of justice, yes. So I appreciate you being here. And I will, and Andrew will text me the corrections next week. And I will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye.